District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Hello, this is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Katrina McElroy Ford from CAIT Business Consulting. Hello, Katrina. How are you today?
I'm good, Alan. How are you?
I'm very well, actually. Thanks. Katrina, what inspired you to get into IT?
Well, I've been in IT for 20 years, mostly in the IT managed services space, which is the outsourced IT. So it was basically the IT department for small to medium-sized businesses. And over the last, I suppose, 5 years, but the last 2 to 3 years in particular, I've seen a lot of our customers getting cyber attacks, ransomware, phishing attacks, and systems being down for 2 to 3 days. The stress that it causes, the culture effect that it has when it happens within a business, because nobody wants to be the person that's clicked on the email that brings the system down. And I decided that I wanted to give back a little bit more to the SME space, and I feel by helping educate business owners, in particular small business owners, it actually is a risk. We're not making this all up. And that's why I've decided to, I suppose, pursue a career in cybersecurity, which is a little bit different from the IT space. Both are in the IT industry, but we're in the IT industry, you're sort of looking after the infrastructure, the systems, the applications. But in cybersecurity, we are, you know, sort of trying to get the bad boys from not attacking your system and keeping all your very, you know, expensive data that you've gathered over the years. Keep your systems and everything nice and safe and away from the bad boys.
Good one. That sounds good. Now, I do detect a bit of an accent. I'm very observant.
Really?
Yes. How long have you been in Australia?
I've been in Australia for 8 years, just over 8 years. So I don't think this accent is going anywhere at this stage. I've tried my best, but no, I can't get rid of it.
Don't deny where you're from.
Definitely not. No. There's no denying it when I open my mouth.
No, that's true. Is there really a risk to small business, small and medium enterprises?
There's a huge risk. And one of the statistics out there at the moment, which is a very, very real statistic, is that 60% of small businesses that have or experience a cyber attack never recover. That's quite a scary statistic. 60%.
And that's 60%.
60% in Australia do not recover. So therefore, it's a huge, huge risk to small businesses. A lot of small business owners think, this is never going to happen to me. But in the cybersecurity world, they're regarded as the low-hanging fruit. They're the ones that can't spend a lot of money on their budget for their IT. They don't really look at their security very... They're in operational mode. They're trying to make money. Small businesses, you know, struggle sometimes to make money, and that's their primary focus, is their day-to-day. So therefore, the IT sort of is just there on the side. It's there to help them enable their business, but they forget about the security implications that might be. So that's why, especially for small businesses, it's huge at the moment. They're being targeted day in, day out. Every time I go to an event or speak to anybody, somebody has an experience. And unfortunately, with the nature of the industry, a lot of people hide when they've had an attack because they don't want it to affect their brand. So it's not as well publicised as some of the bigger ones that's on the news and the media. But there is lots of small businesses, even in Perth, all over Australia, everywhere that this is happening to on a daily basis.
Without naming names, can you give me an example?
There's loads. I know of a financial, an accountancy practice last year, two weeks towards the end of financial year. A lady clicked on an email, looked like a legit email, and it wasn't encrypted their data. So it's called ransomware. So all their data was encrypted. They had to bring their server offline because the server... was obviously infected. The server also hosted their phone system, which meant their phone system was offline. So they had no emails, no phones for over 3 days towards the end of financial year. So you can imagine customers are ringing up trying to get tax returns done, no answer on the phones, no answer to their emails, automatically assumed that they maybe have gone out of business. So it caused quite a significant effect, even just to get them back online. But they also, their backups weren't working at the time for 2 weeks, and the IT company just didn't realise that the backups hadn't been working. So they had to go back 2 weeks in their data, as well as being down for 3 days. So the effect was quite large. But on a daily basis, there's ransomware is the big one. I've just been at an event this morning, a cybersecurity event, and what we're seeing is a huge rise in what you call phishing emails, which is people pretending to be somebody else.
It's spelled PH.
Basically. Yeah. not phishing. Yeah, not like going for catching some fish, yeah. But it's... I suppose it's the same. They're trying to catch some people that are unaware. And these emails come in from, you'll see the regular ones like the ATO, the post office, the banks, and they're trying to spoof you into doing something. But they're becoming more and more smart. What they're doing is they're doing what you call spear phishing attacks, where they actually will monitor somebody like a CEO or a managing director of a company for a period of time. And then they will intercept their emails and then use the same language that you use in your emails. And then they'll email somebody requesting, it's normally a money transfer or access to the system. And they look legit. The language is the same as what the person on the other end would use. So a lot of people do succumb to it. Another example I had was a smaller not-for-profit. Something similar happened to them and they were asked to transfer a sum of money to a bank account from their CEO, who wasn't in the country at the time. And it looked like it was from the CEO. So they'd done it. They transferred the 20 grand and it was gone. And for a small not-for-profit, that's quite a substantial amount of money. And even for a small business, you know, 20 grand in profit is, you know, it takes a bit to earn. So, you know, it's and the figures are getting bigger and bigger. Ransomware in particular, because businesses don't want to experience the downtime, what they're seeing now is a lot of people are paying the ransom because it's quicker to pay the ransom and get your files unlocked by the hacker than it is to do a full system recovery. So these guys are now knowing, okay, if we ask for 5 grand, they're going to weigh up the cost, 5 grand to pay the hacker, or, you know, to recover our system and be offline for a few days, you know, on the way up the cost. And what they're saying now is a lot of people are paying the ransom, whereas a few years ago you were advised not to pay the ransom. And still, probably it's not safe, you know, it's still not safe to pay the ransom. You're not guaranteed that you're going to get your files back. But that's just the way it's going at the moment.
So that means they'd have access to your system.
There's the new sort of threat with ransomware as well. So not only do they encrypt your data now, there's been incidents where they actually are taking some of your data as well out of the system, and they're using that data for later breaches. So generally what the hackers know is that, you know, when you've had an event like that, it's getting back to business as usual, and it's not so much, you know, trying to fix and, you know, secure your systems afterwards. So they will try again in a number of months' time. You haven't fixed the problem, so they get in again and they will hack you again.
That's scary stuff.
It is scary stuff. It really is, because it's small business owners or mums and dads. You know, it's affecting families. It's what you've worked really hard for, and it causes severe amounts of stress when it does happen to a business.
Katrina, you've also mentioned why awareness training is essential.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so cyber awareness training is basically educating your staff on how to identify when they're being scammed. So statistics, and this is a widely publicized statistic, 95% of cyber attacks are due to human error. So somebody has done something. So therefore, only 5%, they say, is due to system failure, i.e., you know, them cracking your network or whatever. So you need to train your staff on why it's important to change your password. You know, double checking, who did that email come from? things like two-factor authentication on all your banking applications and any of your really, you know, where your data's held, the applications like your CRMs and those kind of things. So it's training your staff to change their mindset around how they use computers. Everybody works in a very fast-paced way nowadays when it comes to computer. And unfortunately, our little finger that clicks, click, click, it gets us into a lot of trouble. And we click, and everybody's guilty of it. You click without even thinking. And sometimes, you know, you've done something without even realising, oh, what have I done? So it's awareness training is teaching your staff how to be what I would call your human firewall. So your first line of defence against the criminals getting into your business.
A little while ago, I fell victim, if you like.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty astute when it comes to watching for things like that. And then I got this email and it was offering to buy something. And I thought, that sounds good to me. And I actually gave my credit card details. Then I went straight out to my wife and I said, you know, I think I've just been scammed.
Yeah.
So we got in touch with the bank immediately and said, cancel that.
Yeah.
That transaction and change the card. We actually stopped the card.
Yeah. I've had my credit card before. I got my Uber account hacked one time and they started taking payments from my credit card. And the only reason I caught it was because I know I don't use Uber with my credit card. Other than that, I probably would have passed no remarks because I use Uber constantly. If it had been from my debit card, it probably would have took me a while to realise that these are not coming from me. So it can happen to the best of us, even trained professionals. We still can become victim because these guys are really, really smart. You know, this is their job. This is their business. And they're becoming smarter and smarter and finding new ways every day. It's basically they're trying to scam you. They're trying to manipulate you into doing something that you wouldn't normally do. And they just are really good at doing it.
The old hat one now of I want to put $1 million into your bank account. I mean, that's pretty much run its course now. I think everybody knows about that.
But it has, but you believe it or not, the biggest scam in Australia right now is the romance scams, where people are succumbing to these people online who believe they want to form a relationship with them. I spoke to so many, and it's not just females, it's males as well, and they fully believe that they're in a relationship with somebody and they're transferring the money to try and get them to come to Australia. And it's the biggest recorded scam. They report that it's the biggest one in Australia at the moment is the romance scams, which is pretty sad.
Yes, it appeals to the emotions.
It does.
Which brings me to the next point. Katrina, how do we protect ourselves?
It is difficult, but you need to, as a small business, I always advise just do the basics and train your people. So the basics is backup. Number one, without any fail, you need to make sure that you have a backup that is off-site and that is you've tested it regularly and you know that it works. It is no good having a backup on-site and that's the only backup that you have because these ransomware attacks now, they know they've got smart and they now encrypt your backup. So you don't have a backup on site. So unless you have a physical copy of your data off site and you get a ransomware attack, you may not get your data back. The other thing is, you know, make sure that your machines, all the basics, have good antivirus software installed, that you have a good business grade router and firewall in place, and that you do engage with a reputable IT company that's going to advise you on what you need in terms of your systems and processes, but also training your staff. Every business needs to train their staff. If you haven't already, please, please do it, because that is how they are getting into businesses, is through people.
So how do we train the staff?
Do awareness workshops. So, for instance, I run a workshop for businesses. One is tailored to the business and it's for a very basic entry level, just a normal computer user. The other one is an advanced level, so for managers and finance department. And I'm also releasing two online courses at the end of March, and they will be, you can do them self-paced at home, and they're basically the same as what I cover in the workshop, but it's more generic and not be tailored to your business. So if you, say, for instance, have a construction company or an accountancy practice and you ask me to come in and do a workshop, I'll tailor that to your industry and to what would be the threats that would be more reliant on your business and what the systems that you have in place that you need to protect.
Apart from money, is there anything else that these scammers want to get? What's in it for them, apart from money?
Yeah, it generally always comes down to money, but they want also data, you know. So they might be, for instance, say you're a small business and you do work for larger businesses, they could see you as sort of an entry point or a gateway to larger businesses. So say you supply services or goods and you're in contact or you use systems that communicate, they could see that as a gateway to access. Obviously, if you hold people's confidential information, anything to do with medical records, anything to do with banking records, if you hold people's credit cards, banking details, that's all, you know, worthwhile data to steal. Like, for instance, it's reported that your Medicare number, for instance, on the black market or the dark web is worth anything from $10 to $20. So if they infiltrate a database that has maybe 10,000 people's Medicare records, well, it starts to become lucrative. So that's what they're after. It's either extorting you for money or trying to steal data that in some way they can sell.
So you may not even be aware that you've been hacked.
Yeah.
Because if there's no demand for money or anything else.
Yeah.
So how do we protect ourselves against that? I mean, what could I do to stop that from happening?
Again, passwords is very important. People don't realise that, say, for instance, you've used your password on an online service that has been hacked. Well, you use that password for your business account, then the hackers know that password, or the attackers.
Mm.
So changing your passwords regularly, never have the same password for your business accounts that you would have for your online emails or your shopping sites or anything like that, because those services get hacked quite a lot. Even the big companies, you know, like the Microsofts, the Facebooks, they've all had hacks and it's all been publicised. So if you're using the same password for those services that you use for your business account, it's a ticking time bomb.
Ticking time bomb.
The other thing that they also say is that for SMEs, normally the threat or the vector, is the threat factor that they call them, has been in your system for anything from 12 to 18 months. And so sometimes it can be really hard to detect if they're there. So therefore, depending on the size of your business, you need to engage with a company who provides monitoring of your systems and provides updates of your hardware and your software, like firmware updates in particular, your Windows updates, any software updates that you need. It's really important to have a plan to make sure that that's all covered. So my advice is definitely engage with somebody that knows what they're doing and don't try and do it yourself. Because eventually it's going to happen that you're going to get attacked. And they keep saying in the cybersecurity industry and nearly every event that I go to, it's not if, it's when.
When.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a couple of experiences. One, many, many years ago, I actually got hacked by one of these terrorist sites. And they kept on, they just kept their banner up, the recruiting banner.
Yeah.
So I scrapped the whole site in the end. I was going to ask another question, and it was very profound, but I forgot what it was.
That's all good.
Yeah. Anyway, we're up on time anyway. So, Katrina, that's been excellent. Oh, I know what it was. I've got a Mac.
Oh.
Now, is it a fallacy that Macs don't get hit by hackers?
I get asked this question all the time. And I know what the answer is, but anyway. I'm going to be careful. So, yes, it's true that Macs are a little bit more secure, but of course they still get hacked by hackers. But when you think about it, the human error, so it doesn't matter what technology you use, you're still a human that's using this technology. So, yes, there may be a little bit higher level of security, but I still wouldn't say, and I would never ever say, that a Mac is more secure than a Windows device, because at the end of the day, it's a user or a human that's using the device. But there has been recent different types of viruses, malware, that are starting to attack Macs as well. So we probably will see more and more. But again, you still use emails on your Mac. You still probably click on an email. There's, you know, it's still not as, it's not 100% secure.
No, no. And it's the human factor, because you actually have to click yes to
exactly
put it onto the system.
Yeah.
But if they can con you.
They will.
They will.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know.
There's a world-famous hacker who came to Perth last year, and he's done some time in jail for being a hacker many years ago. And he now, that's what he does. He's an ethical hacker. He goes into businesses and tries to hack them. And he said 100% of the time, it's somebody in the business that lets him in, not the technology. So,
Katrina, thank you for that. There's some very, very valuable and essential advice for small and medium businesses to follow up and check out the human factor.
Yeah.
That's really, that's the key, isn't it?
That's the key, and we're going to be seeing it more and more. They spoke at the conference this morning that the government might get involved in doing more of an awareness campaign like they did with sun cancer or skin cancer and using sun cream. So it is becoming now very evident in the industry that it is an awareness and, you know, training your people. That's the key now. The technology is getting there, and the technology is much better to, you know, help and protect your systems. But at the end of the day, it's going to be people that uses the technology. So we need to become, you know, train our people and get our people more aware.
Katrina from CAIT Business Consulting, thank you for your advice today. It's been most enjoyable and welcome.
Thank you very much, Alan.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio, Business Experts, throughout the hour on District 32, the Hour of Connection.